All right, so ready to dive into the world of billionaires? I bet you're at least a little curious about how they think, how they build those real estate empires.
Oh, absolutely. It's fascinating stuff.
And maybe, just maybe, you're curious what Donald Trump has to say about it all.
Well, he definitely doesn't hold back, that's for sure.
He doesn't. So today, we're cracking open his book, Think Like a Billionaire. It's part advice manual, part autobiography, and, well,
Whole lot of Trump.
yeah, pure unfiltered Trump. Our goal, though, is to distill the key takeaways, not to endorse every single thing he says.
Right, critical thinking is key.
Absolutely. So he kicks off the book with a bold claim: anyone can become a billionaire.
Now, that's where things get interesting, right? Because statistically, the odds are, well, incredibly slim.
He even admits that himself, doesn't he? Like 1 in 10 million or something?
Yeah, he puts it right out there.
Yeah.
So is he setting us up for disappointment?
Maybe not. It's more about mindset, I think.
Yeah, thinking big, that vision thing, going beyond the conventional wisdom, even when the odds are stacked against you.
He uses some really interesting examples to illustrate that point. Like, remember John R. Simplot, the potato farmer who ended up supplying all those French fries to McDonald's?
A $1 billion empire, all from potatoes.
Exactly. Simplot saw an opportunity where others didn't, took a risk, and it paid off big time. But that brings up a good question for you listening. How much risk are you comfortable with, in your own pursuit of success?
Yeah, it's something to think about. Now, before we get too deep into Trump's advice, let's back up a bit. Take a look at his background.
Okay, so it's no secret he comes from a pretty privileged family.
Right. His father, Fred Trump, was already a successful real estate developer in Brooklyn.
And Fred's influence on Donald is obvious throughout the book. Trump talks a lot about his father's approach to real estate. Very practical, always looking to add value to properties.
Yeah, even in small ways, like adding garages to homes in Brooklyn, which back then was a new idea.
It's funny to think about that now.
Right. But it shows that even small things can make a difference, attracting buyers, increasing the value.
Innovation, even back then. So both Fred and Donald, they learned the ropes: construction, zoning, negotiation.
All those practical skills that you need in that business. But, it's important to remember that Donald didn't just coast on his father's success.
Right, he didn't just inherit a fortune and call it a day.
No, he actually went into Manhattan real estate, which was, I mean, a whole other ball game.
Much bigger, much more competitive, and he even did it against his father's advice.
Yeah, pretty bold move. To get into Manhattan, he had to raise millions from investors, convince them to buy into his vision.
So it wasn't just handed to him on a silver platter.
No, not at all.
It makes you wonder, how much does mentorship matter versus that financial starting point?
Good question. It's probably different for everyone. Okay, let's move beyond Trump's personal story.
Yeah, let's dive into some of his broader observations.
About, like what makes these billionaire types tick?
Okay, so he paints this picture of billionaires. They're persuasive, charismatic.
And let's just say, not easily fazed by criticism.
That's putting it mildly.
But he's not saying it's just about being stubborn,
Yeah.
or resistant to feedback. It's more about what we could call like constructive nonconformity.
Okay, so not just rebelling for the sake of it.
Right, but trusting your own judgment even when everyone else disagrees.
He uses Warren Buffett as an example, right?
Exactly. Buffett is like the poster child for independent thinking.
He's got that long-term vision, doesn't follow trends blindly. Now, think about your own experiences. Have you ever had to go against the grain?
Stick to your guns, even when everyone else is doubting you. It's tough, right?
Definitely. All right, let's get into the nitty-gritty here. Trump lays out 10 tips for thinking like a billionaire. And some of them are, well, classic Trump.
Oh, yeah. Like, treat each decision like you're choosing a lover.
Wait, what?
Yep, you heard that right.
Oh.
He's all about, passion, attention, even in decision making.
It's a unique way to put it.
That's Trump for you. What about his advice to be curious? How does that fit into the billionaire mindset?
Well, he stresses, constant learning, being curious about how different industries work, how things operate. Like, he talks about how his own curiosity about TV helped him when he was working on The Apprentice. He learned that Thursday nights are prime time for the networks, and he used that to negotiate a better time slot for his show.
It's about connecting the dots, right?
Yeah.
Understanding how things work, the motivations, the strategies.
And using that knowledge to your advantage. So, what about you listening? Which of these tips resonate with you? Are there any you totally disagree with?
Let us know. You
Yeah.
want to hear your thoughts. Okay, now let's talk real estate. That's Trump's bread and butter.
Oh, yeah. He has a lot to say about location, but it's not as simple as you might think.
No, he says a prime location can actually be ruined by incompetence.
And a less desirable location can be transformed by, like, a brilliant idea or a skilled developer.
Exactly. He's saying that location isn't everything. You need vision, execution, and you need to really understand the market.
Before you get swept away by that perfect property, he emphasizes due diligence. Research, research, research. He even tells some pretty funny stories about misleading apartment ads.
Oh, yeah. Remember that scene in When Harry Met Sally?
Where Billy Crystal reads the obituaries to find apartments?
That's exactly the kind of thing Trump is talking about.
Creative, but misleading.
Totally. So whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting out, what are the key takeaways?
Well, first and foremost, do your homework.
Understand the market. Understand your own financial situation.
And don't let emotions cloud your judgment. Find a good broker, someone you trust, someone who knows the ropes.
Absolutely. Okay, let's talk about renovations, landscaping, interior design. Are these just aesthetic indulgences, or can they actually add value?
Well, Trump sees renovation as an investment, but it has to be strategic. Mm. You know, he cautions against those ego-driven renovations or projects that are poorly planned. Those can be a disaster.
Oh, yeah. But he also tells this great story about buying trees directly from people's yards for his golf courses.
Really?
It shows that he's willing to think outside the box to go the extra mile, and he really believes that landscaping can make a huge difference in a property's appeal.
So it's about making smart choices that will pay off in the long run, not just throwing money at a problem.
Exactly. Now, I'm curious, have you ever tackled a renovation project? What lessons did you learn?
Let us know. Okay, we have to talk about contractors.
Boy.
And, well, Trump is pretty blunt in his assessment.
He compares them to racehorses. Mm. You know, capable of both laziness and surprising bursts of speed.
It's a funny analogy, but it kind of makes sense.
Dealing with contractors can be unpredictable.
He even tells this story about contractors who basically milked a shower renovation for free meals and sympathy.
Oh, come on.
Seriously, it shows why it's so important to vet contractors carefully.
Get references. Set clear expectations from the beginning, you know, to avoid those common pitfalls.
Definitely. Okay, so do you have any contractor horror stories or triumphs? Share them with us.
You want to hear them all. But in the meantime, let's offer some practical advice.
First things first, always get references. Don't settle for just one or two names. Ask for a whole list of recent clients.
That's right. A good contractor will have a long list of happy customers.
And be clear. Crystal clear about your expectations, the scope of work, the budget, the timeline. Get it all in writing.
A detailed contract can save you so much trouble.
So much. Don't be afraid to ask questions, you know, address any concerns throughout the project.
Communication is key. All right, moving on. What about maintaining property value and fighting for your interests when you need to?
Trump is almost obsessive about property maintenance. You know, he believes that even small issues, if you ignore them, they can snowball into big problems.
Yeah, that makes sense.
He even talks about writing a letter to Mayor Bloomberg, complaining about, get this, street vendors on Fifth Avenue.
Wow.
It shows how committed he is to maintaining a certain standard.
But it also raises a question for you. When is it appropriate to fight for your neighborhood's interests?
And is Trump's level of attention to detail admirable or a little excessive? What do you think?
Food for thought. Now let's get into Trump's financial advice, starting with financial intelligence.
Yeah, he really stresses that no matter your income, you should understand finance. It's not about being a Wall Street guru. It's about making informed decisions.
He practices what he preaches. Remember that story about the 50-cent check?
From Spy Magazine. Yeah, he deposited it.
It's funny, but it shows his mindset. You know, every penny counts.
A good reminder for all of us. Now, his investment strategies, they're kind of a mix of calculated risks and bold moves.
Right. He's not afraid of debt, but he stresses managing it carefully.
Big advocate for diversification. Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Exactly. And when it comes to picking stocks, he looks at the people running the show. He thinks a great company can be ruined by bad leadership.
He looks at the numbers, of course, but he also trusts his gut. If something feels off, he walks away. Now, here's something a little controversial. His philosophy on penny pinching.
Oh, Trump is famously frugal. Remember that story about Spy Magazine sending checks to millionaires just to see who would cash the smallest amount?
And Trump cashed a 50-cent check.
He sees it as discipline, you know, not being wasteful.
paying attention to the details, making sure you're not being overcharged. So is it a virtue or a vice? What do you think?
It's definitely worked for him. Okay, let's talk debt.
He acknowledges that leverage can be a good thing, but he also warns against taking on too much debt. He's been there, done that.
He encourages people to really understand their debt situation.
Yeah.
You know, the terms, the penalties, and have a plan to manage it responsibly.
Use debt proactively to finance things that will generate a return, not for everyday expenses.
Right. He gives some practical tips for reducing debt, too. Cutting expenses, refinancing, making those minimum payments on time.
And if all else fails, consult an expert. Now, what about saving for college?
He emphasizes starting early, making regular contributions to a college savings account, and looking into those tax-advantaged options, like 529 plans.
And, of course, retirement planning.
He advises people to really evaluate their assets, streamline their investments, you know, have a plan for generating income in retirement.
He believes in shifting towards safer, more liquid assets as you get closer to retirement.
Makes sense.
And estate planning.
Right. He talks about wanting his kids to make their own way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not just rely on inheritance.
Provide for your loved ones, but also encourage them to be successful on their own.
He also talks about his philanthropy, supporting organizations like the Police Athletic League.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, his role in restoring Woolman Rink in Central Park.
Interesting to see that side of him. Okay, let's move beyond money for a minute. What about his views on, like, work-life balance, relationships? This is where things get a little more, well, nuanced.
Yeah, he's a big believer in finding work you're passionate about. If you don't love your job, find something else. He even says, fire your boss.
Bold advice. But he also has a very strong stance on prenuptial agreements. Sees them as a practical form of protection.
Especially for someone in his line of work, I guess.
Right. But it does spark debate. Some people see it as cynical, going into a marriage already anticipating it might end. So what do you think? How much does passion for your work contribute to overall success? And what are your thoughts on prenups? It's a tricky one.
Definitely. Lots to unpack there.
Huh.
Okay, let's move on to something a little lighter. Trump's thoughts on friendship, loyalty.
He talks about the importance of surrounding yourself with the right people. And he tells stories about his friendships with Regis Philbin, Steve Wynn, Richard Lefrak, you know, emphasizing those qualities he values, positivity, ambition.
And loyalty, of course. He talks about being able to quickly assess people's sincerity, looking for those who'd stand by him even if he lost everything.
Makes you wonder, does that leave room for genuine connection? Or is it more of a transactional approach to relationships?
Interesting question. Now, when it comes to luxury, Trump defines it in terms of comfort, service, you know, seeking out those elite experiences.
He loves his private jet, but he also talks about enjoying simple pleasures, like a good burger, a scoop of ice cream. It's about the quality of the experience, not just the price tag.
Exactly. Find those little luxuries in your own life. Okay, ready for something a little unexpected. Etiquette.
Yeah, he devotes a whole section to it.
Tips on everything. From tipping to handling those awkward social moments, like how to gracefully exit a conversation.
He's all about good manners, especially when it comes to tipping.
He sees it as a sign of respect, rewarding good service.
He also talks about being able to cut through complex information, you know, get to the heart of a matter. He learned this from one of his lawyers.
It's about being able to see the forest for the trees. And that ties into his advice on saying no.
Be firm, be direct, no need to overexplain.
Protect your time and energy. Set boundaries. Okay, ready to dive into some case studies. You know, see Trump's billionaire mind in action.
Let's do it. He starts with his early success, the Commodore Hotel. He turned it into the Grand Hyatt. Walks us through the challenges, the negotiations.
Classic example of his entrepreneurial spirit, his vision.
Then he takes us behind the scenes of Trump Tower, his iconic skyscraper in Midtown.
It's a testament to his ambition, his attention to detail. Building a brand synonymous with luxury.
Then there's his experience developing those casinos in Atlantic City. The Trump Taj Mahal, Trump Plaza.
The high-stakes world of casinos, the ups and downs of managing a huge entertainment business.
He also takes time to reflect on his personal life, the importance of balance, you know, family, hobbies.
Even billionaires value those things.
Absolutely. As we wrap up this part of the deep dive, I'm struck by some of the overarching themes. Thinking big, setting ambitious goals.
Believing in your ability to achieve them.
Break free from conventional thinking. Embrace possibility.
Hard work, dedication, perseverance. Trump emphasizes that success isn't just about luck, it's about effort.
The resilience to bounce back from setbacks, be decisive, take calculated risks.
Learn from your mistakes.
He's not afraid to make bold moves, even if they don't always pan out. Every experience is a learning opportunity.
He also talks about negotiation, being able to make a deal, using your strengths to your advantage.
Building a strong team, people who share your vision.
And your personal brand. Projecting an image of confidence success.
Enjoy the journey. Find fulfillment in your work. Celebrate your successes.
Life too short to be miserable.
Okay, in the next part of our deep dive, we're going to explore those case studies in more detail. Plus, we'll get into Trump's thoughts on media, entertainment.
It's going to be fascinating. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to our deep dive, you know, into Think Like a Billionaire. We've talked about a lot of Trump's advice, but one of the most interesting parts is that glimpse into his daily routine.
Oh, yeah. It's like a whirlwind, right? Packed with meetings, calls, site visits, just nonstop.
It really shows his work ethic, that relentless drive, and that attention to detail.
Oh, remember that story about the woodwork in the elevator at Trump Park Avenue? It was, like, slightly off, and he had the whole elevator shut down until it was fixed.
Yeah, like, wouldn't let anyone use it until it was perfect.
It might seem extreme to some, but it shows you his commitment to those high standards.
Yeah.
And it's not just about, like, grand gestures. He pores over photographs of developments. He reads letters from fans, from students.
He even personally inspects carpet swatches for new projects. It's all about being hands-on, involved in every aspect of the business.
Yeah, that need for control, which, you know, ties into his emphasis on loyalty. He really values those who've been with him for years.
People like his longtime CFO, Alan Weisselberg, and his executive assistant, Norma Forderer.
He tells this funny story about his pilot, Mike Donovan. Their first meeting, Donovan was so nervous he literally somersaulted out of a chair.
I can't even picture that.
Right. But Trump saw something in him and hired him anyway. And he's been his pilot for over a decade.
It shows that he gives people a chance. And that loyalty is, like, huge for him.
Huge. Speaking of loyalty, Trump also talks about his friendships. You know, with high-profile people like Regis Philbin, Steve Wynn.
What does he look for in a friend?
Well, he talks about, like, shared ambition, a positive outlook, surrounding himself with people who get him, you know, who understand the demands of his lifestyle.
He also emphasizes finding common ground, even with people from totally different backgrounds. Remember that story about the pizza place?
Near one of his golf courses?
Yeah. He raves about their pizza, says they treat him like royalty.
It's a good reminder that, you know, connections can pop up in the most unexpected places.
Totally. And I think this brings up a point that sometimes gets lost when we talk about success, enjoying life. Trump talks about indulging in things he loves, whether it's ice cream, golf, even his favorite burger.
The DT burger, right?
Yep. Created by his executive chef at the Trump Tower Grill.
It's a good reminder that we need those things, right? Those little things that bring us joy.
Absolutely. All right, let's dive into some practical advice. Trump's take on investing.
He starts with a really simple but powerful idea. Good investing requires financial intelligence.
And he's a big believer that financial IQ isn't something you're born with. You can learn it. You can improve it.
Study. Get advice from experts. Constantly learn more about the financial world.
He also warns against following the crowd, you know, like with the dot-com bubble. A lot of people got burned chasing those get-rich-quick schemes.
Yeah, it's about being informed, making smart decisions.
And diversifying your investments, spreading that risk around.
Not putting all your eggs in one basket.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when it comes to picking stocks, he has a pretty unique approach.
How so?
He doesn't just look at the company's financials. He pays attention to the people running it.
He thinks even a great company can be doomed by bad leadership.
Exactly. He checks the numbers, of course, you know, track record of growth, profitability, but he also trusts his gut.
If something feels off, he walks away.
Okay, you ready for this? His philosophy on penny pinching.
Trump is famously frugal, right?
Oh, yeah. He tells this story about Spy Magazine sending checks to millionaires to see who'd cash the smallest amount.
He cashed a 50-cent check.
Proudly.
It's funny, but it really shows his mindset. You know, not letting anything go to waste.
Paying attention to the details, making sure you're not overpaying.
So, is this a good thing or a bad thing? What do you think? Is penny pinching a virtue or a vice?
It's worked for him, that's for sure. All right, let's talk debt.
Okay, so he acknowledges that leverage can be a good thing, but he also warns against taking on too much debt.
He's been there. He's experienced the downsides.
He encourages people to understand their debt, you know, the terms, the interest rates, the penalties. Have a plan to manage it.
Use debt to finance things that will make you money, not to cover everyday expenses. He also offers tips for getting out of debt. cutting expenses, refinancing, making those minimum payments on time.
And if you need help, consult an expert. Okay, what about saving for college?
He says, start early. Make regular contributions to a college savings account.
And look into those 529 plans.
The tax advantages can be huge.
And, of course, retirement planning.
Have a plan. You know, figure out how you're going to generate income once you're not working anymore.
He believes in shifting towards safer, more liquid assets as you get closer to retirement.
Makes sense.
What about estate planning? No one likes to think about it, but...
It's important. He talks about wanting his kids to make their own way. You know, not just inherit a fortune and coast.
Provide for your family, but also encourage them to build their own success. He also talks about his philanthropy, supporting organizations like the Calise Athletic League. You know, his role in restoring Woolman Rink.
Interesting. It's like seeing that other side of him. Okay, let's move beyond the purely financial for a minute. What about his thoughts on work-life balance, relationships? This is where things get a little more complex.
He's all about finding work you're passionate about. You know, if you don't love your job, find a new one.
He even says, fire your boss. Pretty bold.
But he also has strong opinions on prenuptial agreements.
He sees them as, like, a practical necessity, especially in his world.
Right. But it's a controversial topic. Some see it as cynical, like going into a marriage already thinking about the potential for divorce. So, I'm curious. What do you think? How important is passion for your work? And what are your thoughts on prenups?
Big questions. Lots to think about there. Okay, let's move on to Trump's advice on friendship, loyalty.
He talks about surrounding yourself with good people, positive people, ambitious people, people who get you, you know?
And he tells stories about his own friends, Regis Philbin, Steve Wynn, Richard Lefrak. He highlights those qualities he values, positivity, shared ambition, loyalty.
He talks about being able to quickly judge someone's sincerity, looking for those who would stick by him, even if he lost everything.
It makes you wonder, is there room for real connection there? Or is it more about, you know, strategic alliances?
Mm-hmm. Good point. What about his definition of luxury?
It's not all about spending tons of money or owning the most expensive things. It's about comfort, service, those elite experiences.
He loves his private jet, but he also talks about enjoying simple things. A good burger, a scoop of ice cream.
It's about the quality of the experience, those little details.
Find those little luxuries in your own life. Okay, ready for something kind of unexpected. Etiquette.
A whole section devoted to it.
He's big on good manners, especially tipping.
He sees it as a sign of respect, you know, rewarding good service.
He gives tips on handling those awkward social situations, like how to gracefully end a conversation.
He knows how to work a room.
He also talks about cutting through complexity, you know, getting to the essence of things. He learned this from one of his lawyers.
It's about focusing on what really matters.
And that connects to his advice on saying no.
Be direct, be firm, no need to overexplain.
Protect your time and energy. Okay, ready to see Trump's billionaire mind in action. Let's look at some case studies.
First up, the Commodore Hotel. He turned it into the Grand Hyatt, one of his early successes.
He walks us through the whole process, the challenges, the negotiations.
It's a great example of his vision, his drive.
Then there's Trump Tower, his iconic skyscraper in Manhattan.
It's all about ambition, attention to detail, building a brand that screams luxury.
Then there are those casinos in Atlantic City, the Trump Taj Mahal, Trump Plaza.
It's a glimpse into that world, you know.
Yeah.
High stakes, big risks, big rewards.
And he also takes time to reflect on his personal life, the importance of family, hobbies, those things that bring joy.
It's a reminder that even billionaires are human.
Totally. As we wrap up this part of the deep dive, I'm struck by some of the overarching themes. Thinking big, setting those audacious goals, believing you can achieve them.
Challenging the status quo, embracing possibility.
Hard work, dedication, perseverance. Success isn't just handed to you.
You have to be resilient. Learn from your mistakes.
Take calculated risks. Be decisive.
Be a good negotiator. Know how to make a deal.
Build a strong team. Surround yourself with talented people. Develop your personal brand.
Project confidence, competence.
And most importantly, enjoy the journey.
Find joy in the process. Appreciate the challenges. Celebrate the wins.
In the next part, we'll get into those case studies in more detail. Plus, we'll explore Trump's thoughts on the media, entertainment, his take on style, image, and those all-important social graces.
Uh-oh.
It's gonna be good. Welcome back to the final part of our deep dive into think like a billionaire.
We've talked about so much already.
Yeah, from his early days in real estate to his thoughts on finance, personal success.
But there's one more piece to explore.
Right, those more personal insights.
His views on relationships, luxury, even etiquette.
They might seem less, I don't know, important compared to, like, billion-dollar deals.
But they're actually super revealing.
Yeah, you get a glimpse into how he sees the world, how he operates.
Both personally and professionally.
That's what makes this book so fascinating.
It's not just a dry business book.
No, it's like a window into his mind.
A really unique mind.
Okay, so let's start with friendship. What does Trump value in a friend?
Well, he talks about surrounding yourself with the right people, you know.
Right, the right people.
Positive people, ambitious people.
People who get...
People who understand your drive, the demands of your lifestyle.
He talks about his friendships with Regis Philbin, Richard Lefrak, Steve Wynn.
People with that shared energy, enthusiasm.
They can keep up with him.
And of course, loyalty is huge for Trump.
Oh, yeah. He talks about being able to spot insincerity, like, instantly.
Looking for those who would stick by him no matter what.
Even if he lost it all.
Yeah, through thick and thin.
But does that approach allow for genuine connection?
Or is it more transactional?
Good question.
It seems like he does have a core group he really trusts.
Right, his inner circle.
But he's also strategic about his relationships.
Okay, let's talk about luxury. What's Trump's definition?
He doesn't necessarily equate it with just, like, spending a ton of money.
Or having the most expensive stuff.
No, it's more about comfort, service.
Those elite experiences, as he calls them.
Even if you don't have a private jet.
Oh, he definitely loves his private jet.
Yeah, but he also talks about enjoying simple things.
Like a perfectly made burger.
Or a scoop of cherry vanilla ice cream.
He appreciates those little details, the quality.
A luxury isn't just about the price tag.
Right, it's the whole experience.
So find those little luxuries in your own life.
The things that bring you joy.
Okay, ready for something a little unexpected? Etiquette.
Etiquette? In a book about being a billionaire.
Yeah, he devotes a whole section to it.
He talks about everything from tipping to handling those awkward social situations.
Like how to end a conversation politely.
Or escape a boring party.
He's a pro at navigating those social dynamics.
Yeah, he knows how to work a room.
He stresses good manners, especially tipping generously.
He sees it as a sign of respect.
You're rewarding good service.
He also talks about being able to simplify complex information.
Getting to the heart of it.
He learned that from one of his lawyers, actually.
Cutting through the jargon.
Focusing on the essentials.
And that ties into his advice on saying no.
Be firm. Be direct.
You don't have to overexplain.
Protect your time and energy.
Set boundaries.
Okay, let's revisit some of those case studies.
You know, see Trump's billionaire mind in action.
First up, the Commodore Hotel.
He transformed it into the Grand Hyatt.
One of his early successes.
He talks about the challenges, the negotiations, the strategies.
It's a great example of his entrepreneurial spirit, his vision.
He saw potential where others didn't.
And he went after it relentlessly.
Then there's Trump Tower, that iconic skyscraper in Manhattan.
Testament to his ambition.
His attention to detail.
And his ability to build a brand.
A brand that stands for luxury exclusivity.
Then there are those casinos in Atlantic City.
The Trump Taj Mahal, Trump Plaza.
He talks about the world of casinos, the high stakes, the risks, the rewards.
It's fascinating stuff.
And he also shares some more personal reflections.
The importance of balancing work and life.
Family, hobbies, those things that bring joy.
It's a reminder that even billionaires have lives outside of work.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Think Like a Billionaire, what are your biggest takeaways? What's resonated with you? What do you question or disagree with?
Share your thoughts with us on social media.
Let's keep the conversation going.
Whether you admire Trump or find him controversial.
There's no denying he's a fascinating figure.
He's ambitious. He's a master of self-promotion.
And he's built a massive empire.
So take what you've learned, apply it to your own life.
See where it takes you.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Until next time, keep thinking big, stay curious, and never stop learning.